Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Anyway, you can do what you want to, Larry. It's your fault, okay? You know, you can use a phone to call, you can use a phone to text, you can scroll social media, but there's tons of features I'm finding out on this new thing there's tons of new features that I didn't know actually were there. And there's actually a Tips, you know, that you guys know this are iPhone users, but there's a Tips actual app that you can actually shows you like the things that you're maybe just not, you know, that help you to be able to navigate. And it's the same way, is that when you start understanding something about that phone, it starts to unlock power to you, or unlock things that makes your life easier, can actually set you on a direction. Amen? So it's the same thing with praise. Praise works the same way. When you and I don't understand what we got, we can't leverage what we have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a praise is a spiritual force that has to be activated. And the enemy is trying to get you not to praise. Amen. He doesn't want you in breakthrough. He doesn't want you in peace. He doesn't want power to be released in your life. And there's some people in this room today needs an update in praise. Your software, you got a previous iOS that needs to be updated. Come on, some of you in this room used to be praisers, not praisers anymore. You're operating on an old revelation. Come on, somebody. So I want to talk to you this morning about this. You know, the Bible says this in Psalm 47. We're going to turn some scriptures here after a while, but I'm just read this one. Psalm 47, verses 6 and 7. It says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with what? With understanding. One of the most commanded actions in the Bible, over 148 times, you are commanded to sing. It didn't say feel like singing, it's commanding to sing. Commanded to sing. Sing praises with God and you to God, and you are to sing with understanding. You are to have an understanding of why you sing. So many times we come in church services and we just do things because this is what we do. But when you start understanding why you're doing something, power gets released in the middle of that. When you understand that I'm not moved by emotions, listen, everybody says, well, that's just emotionalism. No, this is not emotionalism. This is faith. Because I'm telling you something, emotionalism is being driven by emotions. There's sometimes I don't feel like it, but I'm going to sing anyway. I'm going to help you today. I'm going to help you today. Amen. God would never command you to do something without purpose behind it. There's grace that is accompanying the command. It's grace. God would never command you. You say, well, man, I don't sing that well. Well, we got a scripture for you. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. A joyful what? Noise. Can you make a joy? Can you make a noise? Yeah. Then you qualify today to sing. Yeah. I don't sing well. It doesn't matter. You sing. A joyful noise. That's a joyful, joyful noise. I'm going to help you today. We have a password. We have the PIN number to victory. It's called praise. I like the Message Bible in Psalm 89, verse 15. It says, blessed are the people who knows the passwords of praise. It's the Message Bible. I love that translation right there. That understand that you have passwords. You ever lost your password before? If you got my password, you probably could. You could unlock all my millions. I chuckle. Because my password, there's one password that I have all the time for about everything. If you figured that one out, you could probably you can unlock anything. Yep. Yeah. There's nothing more frustrating when you forget your password. Right? Yes. Right? You ever been there before? What's your password? I don't know. I can't remember. There's about four, right? Let's try that one. Oh, no, that was supposed to need an uppercase this, right? We can't forget our password, the password of praise. You have the PIN number to victory. Why I'm trying to tell you this today is because some of you need to unlock some of these things again in your life. Because freedom has a sound. There's sights and sounds to freedom. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Has anybody been redeemed in the room today? What do you mean redeemed? That word redeemed means to buy out of slavery. To actually be rescued from captivity and to be restored. God rescues the one enslaved. He restores what was lost out of love and responsibility. The Bible says that we are to declare, to say so, to proclaim publicly what Jesus has done for us. There's a sight and there is a sound that comes with freedom. Free people praise. Free people have a sound. Free people is not this. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
That don't seem like freedom. That looks like bondage to me. There's an effect. Look at this. I'm just showing you some scriptures here. It's Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4. This is an interesting scripture because this is when they were being taken into captivity, the children of Israel. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. They hung their praise up. For there are those who carried us away captive asked of us of a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. Sing, the enemy, mocking. Sing to us. Don't you have a song? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a what? They had hung up their captivity leads to you being quiet. Captivity leads you into not praising. Look at this one. This is Psalm 126, though. This is it. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth, look what happened. He brought back and restored. He redeemed them, right? Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with what? Then they said among the nation, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are what? We're glad. So freedom has a sound. Captivity, silence. Freedom has sights and has sounds to it. If we're free, and we are, because Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Galatians 5:1, the Apostle Paul said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So freedom has an expression. You're created to live and to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We are created to praise. We're wired up to do this. You guys with me here? You're wired up to do this. You're made in the image of God. The Bible says God rejoices over you with singing. God does. So if we're made in the image of God, then you're made in the image of a singer. Of a worshiper, of a praiser. I want you to hear what I have to say because you have to actually be deprogrammed not to praise. You have to be deprogrammed not to praise. Look at this one in Psalm 150. You ready? You guys all right? Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
I love this scripture. It says, praise the Lord. Exclamation point. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. It don't say a period. It says what? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. You mean dancing? You mean dancing? Yeah. It's interesting to me that Christians don't think that's okay, but it's okay to dance an electric slide at the wedding ceremony. Well, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with what?
Loud.
Not just cymbals, but what?
Loud.
God's okay with loud. Now, let me preference that. There is a time for silence and reverence. I'm not saying that. Or, I'm going to say reverence. Let me take that out. Silence. You can be reverent to the Lord and still be loud. Reverence is a posture of the heart. Loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Exclamation point. You have to be deprogrammed to not praise. Isn't it interesting, the closer you get to church, the quieter you get? Well, the closer you get to church, the quieter you get. The farther you move away from the church, the louder you get. What's the problem? So I'm just showing you scripture, Psalm 69, verses 30 through 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the what? Shall please the Lord. You mean the song and magnify Him with thanksgiving? It pleases the Lord more than a sacrifice. He was talking to the old covenant, more than bull, that better than an ox or bull which has horns and hoofs. He said, it's better than those sacrifices, actually the sacrifice of praise. And it pleases God when you sing. It pleases God when you worship and praise Him. It pleases God. I'm trying to get you out because, listen, if we can unlock this as a church, that from the front row to the back row, that we would start engaging with the Lord, I'm telling you, we will get catapulted into a different realm of His presence. I'm going to help you today. This pleases the Lord. So our praise is a gift to the Lord. Our freedom is a gift to us so that we can praise. Amen. This commandment to sing is everywhere, and to praise is everywhere. So let me ask you a question. Why don't people express praise and worship? Let's just ask that question. Why don't people, now the Bible's full of this, you'll see it. The Bible's full of it, but why do people not expressively praise God? I think the first thing is this. Some people would say, I've not been taught. I don't know anything about that. Or number two is, growing up, we just didn't do that. Or tradition. Now, I'll just throw a couple pictures up here. It's Sunday. So here we got some. Here we go. Yeah. See, I'm making some people mad now. I just want you to see something a second. The people, I don't know if these people are here believers, but I would say there's probably people in this stands here that are Christians. Isn't it interesting that you'll throw up your hands and praise for a pigskin, but you won't praise and give God thanks for the one that saved us and delivered us from sin, death, and hell in the grave? Right? Well, people say that it's weird. It's just weird to do that. Really? Look at this one. This is even weirder. You know what I'm saying? It's my sermon. I can do what I want. Now, you're talking about weird. That's weird. The same people that show up on Sunday morning and do this And for somebody actually dancing or praising or worshiping the one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would call that weird, would call this normal. That's not normal. This is normal. So many people, they blame their lack of expression to worship to this. This is another one. This is just my personality. Well, most of the time, it's timidity and fear that's actually keeping you from doing it. We don't have a revelation of what God has done for us.
Oh, that's a good one.
How about this one? How about, Pastor Paul, I worship God in my heart. Okay, that's a good thing. Anything that gets in our hearts, though, should find expression through our actions. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? There's action. I wrote this down. And again, there's times to be silent before the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But could you imagine saying that to your spouse? Right? I'm attracted to you, honey. I really am. But from here on out, I'm not going to express it physically. I just love you in my heart. Could you imagine saying that to your spouse? How would that work out? So, listen now. In talking about relationship with God, listen now. This is the only relationship where people think it's okay to separate affection from expression. Let me say it again. In talking about relationship with God, this is the only relationship where people think it's okay to separate affection from expression. When affection always leads to expression. Church, listen. This is the most normal thing in the world for us to come in here and praise God together. It's the most normal thing in the world for us to express our love to God. This is what we've been created to do. You don't have to teach a baby how to clap their hands. It's wired up in them. You don't have to teach a baby to throw their hands up to you. Why? Their love for you causes them. I think there's a problem because we're in love with other things and not love with the one that's actually has poured out his life for us. And that hinders our worship. I think that we're coming in here, and I'm not saying you in general. I'm just saying I think people come into churches all the time, and they come in with condemnation. And they come in weighted down with the guilt of sin. When the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. If the person that I need is actually the one that actually the enemy's trying to drive me away from. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about expression. I'm talking today about praise and what praise can actually do for you. The enemy would like to shut you down. I was trying not to sing today just because I wanted to save my voice. You know how hard that is? You know how hard that is for me? Man, I sing. I've been a worshiper ever since I got born again. Before I was ever a preacher, I spent hours with God, and I still do today, of just worshiping and praising Him because He gave His life for me. Why would I not extend my hands to Him? This pleases the Lord. This pleases the Lord. Why would we not want to do what pleases Him? Affection will always find expression. What you love will have actions accompanied. So let me look at this. What's this look like from the Scripture? Over 50 words, we're going to run through this real quick. Over 50 words describes praise and worship in the Old Testament alone. How important is it then? But listen, there's six common Hebrew words for praise, and I want to show them to you real quick, okay? Six, these are the six most common Hebrew words for praise or thanksgiving or praise, okay? The first one is this, is halal. Halal. You all right? The enemy's not going to shut me up. I'm going to keep talking, all right? Halal, which we get the word hallelujah from. This is what this means. Overwhelming excitement or to celebrate. I love this one. What does halal mean? To cheer. To cheer. To rave. To be clamorously foolish. This is what it means. I promise you could look it up. Clamorously foolish. Halal. Loud, excited, body-involved praise. I like that word, to cheer. And we cheer in many different ways. We clap, we shout, we lift our voice, we lift our hands. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Why do we lift our hands? It's a sign of celebration. Let me get the next one, right? This is the next. Right, look. This is natural. It's a celebration. Again, why do we think this is not okay in church? You may have come into this church, and there's people that have come into this church, and sometimes we're not everybody's cup of tea, and I understand that. And that's okay. That's why there's Chick-fil-A's and there's KFC's and there's McDonald's. People have their own flavor. But when people come to the doors of them, these people are crazy. We may be. But we're doing something biblical.
Come on, come on.
We're cheering. We're celebrating. Listen, we're on the winning team, church. So if we can celebrate a football team, why can't we celebrate the one that delivered us? The question is this: why is the church the only place that winners don't celebrate? Why is the church the only place that winners don't celebrate? Because the enemy is trying to take it away, the praise away from us. Because there's power in it.
Come on, come on.
Come on, somebody. Halal. Over 160 times in the Old Testament. This is God's favorite word for praise. Right here, to cheer him on. Cheer him on. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 113 says, praise the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be hallowed. Praised. The next one is yada. Yada means to extend the hand or to throw out the hands. This is what it means. To extend the hand, to throw out the hands. So extending hands is the Hebrew word yada. It's 114 times in the Old Testament. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with what? Yada. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter his courts with yada. Extended hands. Extended hands. Why do you raise your hand? Think about it, celebration, but we raise our hands also to testify. So listen, I don't know what was he singing today. Whatever it would be, there was something there, and there was maybe a part of that song, and you were singing it, and you extend the hands. You're saying, "I testify, yes, Lord, I agree with that. Yes, Jesus, I agree that you're the healer. Yes, I agree today you love the world, that you gave your only begotten. I agree. I'm testifying." When you go into a court, they ask you to raise your right hand. You raise the hand to testify. So when I'm raising my hands, now I'm going to sing and I'm praising with understanding. I'm raising my hand to testify. I agree with that. Lord, I testify that you are that to me. You are my shepherd. You go before me, defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm testifying that that's true. I'm testifying that that is what I believe. It's not about my feeling. It's about what I believe. So listen, this is why emotionalism gets thrown out of the arena, because it's in moments that I don't feel like it. I'm still testifying to who He is. I'm not letting my emotions. I don't feel like it today. You may not feel like it today, but it doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. The Bible says it commands us to do these things. Just maybe on the other side of your obedience, just like David said, the other side of your obedience as you testify, power will be released and unlock the chains on your life. Amen. Raising my hands. What's another reason we raise our hands? Someone said it. Surrender. It's the universal sign. It's a universal sign is surrender. So you're singing, Lord, I surrender to that. Lord, I surrender to You. What gets in the way of your praise is your pride. I surrender. Yada. Zamar, next one. Zamar means to touch or strike the strings, to sing with musical instruments. Joyful singing with musical instruments. Used 41 times. The next one is Shabak. Shabak. Shabak means to shout with triumph, to address in a loud tone. Used 18 times. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall shabak you, shall praise you. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you, shall shabak you. The next one is this one. This is one of my favorites. It's Tehillah, not tequila. Some of you got, I got your attention real quick there. Not tequila, Tehillah. One of my favorite words. And Tehillah praise is this. It's to sing loud and joyfully, or to sing a new song. It's a song that's from the heart, or spiritual songs. These are spontaneous songs that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is used over 50 times. Check this out. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, God inhabits the Tehillah of His people. That's the place that God manifests, is when things are coming from the heart. Not out of rote or religion, but out of the heart. You ever heard this one? This is Isaiah 61:3. You put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That word praise there, put on the garment, is Tehillah. It's spirit-inspired songs. Have you ever woke up with a song in your heart? Have you ever woke up one day and said, why am I thinking that song? Why am I singing that song? Why is that on my heart? God has given you a song for you. It's a Tehillah. You need to sing it. You need to turn it on. Because it's Tehillah. It's Tehillah. And this is not just a song that's being sung, but Tehillah is what tracks His presence. Songs that's coming from the heart. This is the deal, is when we put the songs up on the screen, right, the lyrics up there, we're trying to get everybody focused, but those are like Hallmark cards. Now, whenever Andy gets me a card, or I get her a card, there's always things inside that card that gets underlined, circled, or added to. See, this is what we're trying to accomplish, is that these words and these lyrics that we put up there are just Hallmark. It's actually there to help you to engage in a conversation with the Lord. That all of a sudden, just like Andy said, that was on her, right? About the joy of the Lord. What the crazy thing was, I was getting ready to step up to talk about that line, I promise you, that line. His joyous refreshing restores my soul. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I was, I promise you, this is not, the Lord knows my heart. It hit me. But I told Anna, I said, go on up there because I'm trying to save my voice. And here she picks up the thing that was actually, see, God was giving somebody something there. And Tehillah is this praise that comes because it's Spirit-inspired songs. These are also songs that maybe that's never been written before that the Lord would give you. This is a great way to be able to pray and sing. The Apostle Paul said, I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. One of the ways we can Tehillah praise is by praying and singing in spiritual language, in our heavenly language, in tongues. This is what the Apostle Paul would say. These are Tehillah. This is the praise of God that's coming from our hearts. Amen. So Tehillah. Now that's the next thing is this. Next one is Todah. Todah is confession of our lips, a thanksgiving, a sacrifice of thanksgiving with extension of the hand and acceptance with palms up. Used 32 times. Now there's a lot more. There's over 50, I think there's 50 some times the word praise is mentioned. It's other words, but these are the most common. But Todah is actually, it's saying, Lord, I receive that. Lord, I receive that. I receive, Lord, what I'm singing. I receive it. I'm singing this in faith, Lord, today. That you are my shepherd. Your Spirit lives within me. I'm reminding myself of that truth today, Lord. And I'm going to walk in peace. Lord, I receive peace today. Thank you for your peace. This is Todah. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And the word thanksgiving here means Todah. Confession of our lips. Thanksgiving with the extension of the hands with palms up. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. I'm not teaching this because I don't want you to be a puppet on a string. But I do want you to engage. Because freedom has a sight and freedom has a sound. I want to get you out of this. To at least this. So I'll tell you, if you get here, you'll get them here.
Yes, come on. That's right.
Many people are unfulfilled and they feel locked up because your praise has been locked up. What would people think? The fear of man will rob you of destiny and purpose. Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks because your praise will unlock a prison door for somebody else. Now go with me to Acts 16. Praise the Lord. Well, it's awful. Man, it's nice and chilly in here right now. Paul and Silas, a couple Wednesday nights, I talked about this in a little bit, but we're going to dig into it a little bit more. Paul and Silas thrown in jail. Verse 16, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination, that actually means spirit of Python, the word is Pythonia, is the Greek word, the spirit of Python met us. Interesting, we don't have time to go there. Who brought her master much profit by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Isn't that interesting that the enemy's actually speaking truth? Remember now, just because something's truth doesn't mean it's always coming from the right place. The enemy will do whatever he can to deceive somebody. And this she did for many days. But Paul, I like the Bible, he got greatly annoyed. Oh, It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, your kids, mom, 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 mom. Right? He got greatly annoyed. Turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of that very hour. And when her master saw that there's hope of a prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then multitudes arose up together against them. And the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes, one translation said severely beaten, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, I want to stop here a second. When we hear about this story, right, we think of this picture right here. We think about this Paul and Silas. This is what we got. This is in our mind. You can put that up there real quick. That Paul, this is what we think, right? This is what we think, right? You know, it's like they're laughing, you know, and nah. Because the next picture I want to show you is the actual, it's a stock. Actually, can you shrink that down, please, for me? I know you can because Katie did it the other day. I think you can. She did it for me the other day. I don't know if that's true. But let me just talk about this rods, and these beating these rods. These. When they would beat people with rods on their back, they would break ribs. It would tear open their back, the wounds on their back. They would have just huge stripes and broken ribs and flailed. This is bad. It's not they're not smiling here at all. And then they would take it and they would put them in these stocks. And these stocks were, they would put their feet inside the holes, okay? They would put their feet inside the holes. And then what they would actually do is chain them also to the stock like here. So their legs were out and their hands were out. Could you imagine? Some even said they would actually take them and they would put them like spread eagle. This is what's going on.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
This is not a happy time. Right? This is not a happy time. Their backs were beaten, ribs were broken, they're in the inner prison, rats are running everywhere. This is not a pretty sight at all. And we have to keep this in mind because we have a hard time praising God because we got a cold. Come on, somebody. We have a hard time praising God because we have a financial distress. And we think God left us. We are weak. We need a dose of reality. Because these people, they knew God. It didn't matter what the situation was going on. They were praising the Lord. They were praising God. In the middle of this, most Christians, they would have already said, God doesn't love me. God has went out the door on me. He doesn't care anything about me, and I'm rejecting my faith. That's modern day Western culture today in America. But what did Paul and Silas do? But at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. All of a sudden, they're in a bad situation. You could almost hear Paul. Hey, Silas. Hey, Silas. I think we need to praise. I think we probably ought to do something right now that's a little different. suddenly, verse 26. Aren't you glad for the suddenlies? Come on the other side of your obedience is a suddenly. On the other side of your obedience, there's a suddenly waiting for you. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Whoo! Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoner had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them and washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. Listen to this now, verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. The first thing I want you to see here is praise is an act of your will. Paul and Silas made a choice. You have a choice to make. You have a choice tomorrow morning. You have a choice tomorrow afternoon. You have a choice tomorrow evening. You have the choice in your midnight hours. The midnight hour is the darkest hour. You have a choice to make. Am I going to sit here and sulk and I'm going to play a victim? Or you know what? I'm going to lock in that I am a victor in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to lock into something that a tip on this in my life, a tip that's been given to me, a password that's been given to me that I can access victory. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm going to remember him. So many people are just situational praisers. When the things are going good, I'm going to praise. When things are going bad, I'm not going to praise. It's a situational praiser. That's not scripture. You're being driven by your emotions. No, I'm going to praise the Lord. Why? He's commanded me to praise the Lord. Whether it's going good for me, going bad for me, I'm going to lift my hands to him. Hallelujah. When you and I go through the battles of life, the enemy will try to silence you. That's why you got to put on a garment of praise. You got to put it on. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit. You got to put it on. You got to go and say, listen, today I'm going to dress myself up in praise. Listen, your praise needs to be the loudest when you're going through the darkest valleys of your life. Because that's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice of praise the Bible talks about. That's the sacrifice of praise. When I don't feel like it, I'm going to praise. When it's not going well with me, I'm going to praise. I'm going to praise on the mountaintop too. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be the loudest when I'm in the valley. That's not what we do. The enemy tries to silence you because every weapon you got comes through your mouth. Every weapon that's going to defeat the adversary comes through your mouth. The word of God, the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody.
You're right. Come on.
It comes through your mouth. And your songs become stones. When the Goliath starts screaming at you, God has given you grace, five smooth stones. Five's a number of grace. Five smooth stones. His grace will come and he'll give you a song in the night. All of a sudden that song becomes a stone that you begin to go and throw at your adversary. Whew. It's not my style. Here it is. It's just not my style. Well, it doesn't matter if it's your style or not. You are commanded to express your praise to God. Because the same guy that's doing this on Sunday morning at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon looks like the guy that's painted his face or the people in the stands. The same guy is doing that. There's a problem. Now, don't get mad at me.
Come on.
I love football. I love it. I'll talk with you about it. I love football. I'll watch football today. I love it. But I'm telling you what, there is no pigskin going to cause me. I will praise my King. I will praise my King more than any type of game at all. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Number two is this. Look here. Praise brings God's power and presence on the scene. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. When Paul and Silas began to praise, the atmosphere was affected. Something supernatural took place at the response of Paul and Silas. I'll say that again. Took place at the response. As a church, it's in our DNA as a church to be a place that we experience together the power and the presence of God. And one of the ways is through praise and through worship. As we sing, as we celebrate, as we lift hands, as we dance, we shout together. There's a power that's released. I'm telling you, listen here. There would be nothing. Listen, if I'm not here on Sunday morning, you probably better go ahead and just probably, I'm probably in the hospital. Because I know this is me. Listen. Because I know the power of a room filled with people that's actually celebrating God and how God's presence can be released in the midst of that and actually can heal my body because I'm right here.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Come on, somebody. They brought people to Jesus. I don't care. Listen, you do what you want to do, but I'm telling you something. You couldn't beat me away with a stick from getting to this place. Because why? It's here that I understand. There's a corporate power that's not available to me that I can't get it alone. There's some things I can't get alone, Tommy. There's some things that God has purposed that I can't get alone. I have to have somebody else. And when people come into a room and they're lifting their hands and they're celebrating God, the Bible says God inhabits the Tehillah of His people. All of a sudden He comes down in the mist and there's power that begins to be released in the midst of praise. You got to get excited about this. From the front row to the back row, it's not my personality, it's not my style, whatever. Listen, do what God commands you. Start expressing your love and affection to the one that's given His life for you. And I promise you, in this room, there will be an elevation of the presence of God. I promise you. Woo. Right? It's an elevation. It starts to happen. God's power. Listen to this. Where two or three are, just what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Okay, hold on. Is God everywhere? Is He omnipresent? But just because God is omnipresent doesn't mean that He's actually tangible or manifesting in a place. We all have God living on the inside of us. If you're born again, He lives there. Right? But that doesn't mean that He's tangibly present. Because there's a corporate anointing that happens when people come together. God begins to manifest in ways. Tangible. Come on. How many people have told me they've come to the doors, we sit on the back row, and I felt the presence of God. I've had people tell me, sinners, don't know anything about Jesus. He says, I don't know, but you know what? I felt something there. That's happened. I've heard that testimony hundreds, I promise you, probably 100 times. I've had people in this church, people that come here, you know what? The presence of God was so strong today, I just sat and just wept. Why is that? Hold on. Was God not here? He was here. But you came. You came. And you connected your heart with the Lord. And God sat down in the midst of that. And His presence become evident. I don't need a goosebump to know God's with me, but I'm telling you one thing. It's good to feel a goosebump. It's good to feel God. I don't walk my life, I don't live my life by feeling, because I know God lives on the inside of me. But it's good when you do. God's power and presence is released. It comes on the scene. It's like, it's. And I don't want to stay long here, but I just want you to understand what makes the church, the body of Christ, different than any other organization, because it's not an organization, it's actually an organism. The church is an organism. It's a living thing. It's the presence of God. It's spiritual warfare. His presence. When His presence fills a place, fear, confusion, oppression, and demonic influences are forced to leave. It's like turning on the light. Darkness doesn't argue or slowly retreat when the light comes on. No, it instantly vanishes. When people get into the presence of Almighty God, things vanish. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the presence of the King, things leave. Your greatest, listen, your greatest act in spiritual warfare is you standing like this. I surrender. And all of a sudden, He brings victory. It's not even your victory, it's His victory. But He calls it your victory. Why? Because praise silences the enemy. The Bible says that in Psalm 8:2. Let me kind of show you that one real quick here. Marianne, can you follow here? Just put Psalm 8:2 up, and then you can go to Matthew 21, because Jesus gives divine commentary from Psalm 8:2. Look what it says in Psalm 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained what? You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Ordained strength because of enemies, that you can silence them. Now look what Jesus gives us, divine commentary in Matthew 21. He said to him, do you hear what these are saying? Jesus said to him, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have what? Perfected praise. Jesus gives divine commentary in Psalm 8:2. He calls ordained strength perfected praise. Listen to this. Praise is like noise cancellation earphones or earbuds. It silences the adversary.
Amen.
And his lies to you. Amen. I'm just telling you, spiritual problems take spiritual solutions. I don't understand it, but I'm telling you something. When people praise, God comes. You trying to battle your life in natural means, listen, spiritual problems take spiritual armor, spiritual weaponry. I don't know how it is, but God comes. This is the promise. If we'll praise, He comes. The promise of the praiser, if we praise, He'll come. Now, I know God's always with us, but He will come in tangible, supernatural ways when we praise. The next thing is this, praise affects your perspective. Could you imagine Paul and Silas? They probably felt pretty low, right? That stock looked pretty big, did it not? Probably God looked pretty small, did He not? But they know the way they could shift their perspective was by praise. I did this a couple Wednesday nights ago. I want you to put up your thumb. Put up your thumb. I want you to block me out with your thumb. Block me out. Now, just keep it there. Is your thumb bigger than me? But it's the small thing that gets close to us that actually starts to block our vision. It's the small things that will actually block your vision from the thing that's actually big. That's why the Bible says, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Let's magnify the Lord. I mean, Glenn's back there on the camera. I mean, I don't know if you could switch it around or not. Glenn, I don't know if you come, or Michael, I don't know, probably not, but it's not Glenn. Glenn's over there. Sorry. But if you would take that camera, you could actually dial that camera so close to me, you could see the pores on my nose. Right? What was once far away or feels far actually can be brought closer by magnification. It's the same thing with you and I in praise. If you and I will praise the Lord, listen, what's the thing that's been small, it's blocking your vision from God, begins to be moved out of the way because he gets magnified. You need to do this, church. Listen, in the middle of your problems, in the middle of your circumstances, listen here, you need to praise. You need to praise. Praise affects your perspective. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul said. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a perspective by which you live by. What's being challenged all the time is your perspective. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had a situation speak to you? You ever had a problem speak to you? I look across this room and I think about the people in this room that I know that things are going on in your life. I know. I could see the battles and I understand the battles. So I know that. Only thing I could tell you is this. Go ahead and praise. The next thing is praise fills you with faith and courage. I'm just going to give you this real quick. It fills you with faith and courage. You can borrow faith from somebody else. You know that. Do you know you can borrow faith from somebody else? There's times you need faith. You need faith. You need courage in your life. I'm telling you, you can come in this room and you can praise and you can actually, you can draft off of someone else's faith. In NASCAR, you know, NASCAR has that, right? When you'll get cars, will get in behind of another car that's going 200 miles an hour and they'll get in behind, they call drafting, and they actually get behind that car and they get so close to the one that's in front of them, they will actually pull them. The draft will actually pull their car and their car won't have to work as hard. They'll have better fuel mileage. Why? Because the power, listen, the one that's in front of them is breaking the wind. See, you can draft off of somebody else's faith. When you're strong, your neighbor might be weak. But listen here, I need you. There's people today that need you not to respond like this, but to actually go and be obedient to God and respond in faith, because there's people around you that need what you got. We will do a disservice to the people that come into this church if this is our response. This should not be our response. I'm not trying to make you be a puppet. I'm not trying to say, I'm just saying be obedient to what God tells you to do. Because praise actually will instill faith and it will instill courage praise will instill faith and courage in your life. I'm declaring promises over my life. When I'm singing these scriptures or these songs, I'm declaring promises and it's filling me with faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the last thing is this, as I close. Praise will set others free. Paul and Silas there in verses 26 through 33. It says that they began to praise and worship God. You can read on down there in verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Don't harm yourself, we're all here. Then he called for light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And in verse 30, he said, What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas, because they made a choice in a midnight hour to praise. set somebody else free. There's a personal response. And your praise is a witness to people around you. People that are bold in praising God leaves a mark and impact on people. People need to see that. I'm asking you this question. As we transition, I want the worship team to come. I want to ask the question. Does the way you praise look like victory or does it look like defeat? Does the way you praise look like victory or does it look like defeat? What's it look like? So I'm telling you something. When some people actually start breaking alabaster jars, I'm talking about jars breaking pride and the fear of man where it no longer has a hold on you. The Bible talks about Mary and Martha. And Martha was serving Jesus and taking care of his needs, and that's a good thing. The church is to take care of the body of Christ. On a Sunday morning here, it's only right. You guys that are serving and helping and people that are serving all across the building today, they're ministering to the body of Christ. They're doing a Martha. But there's got to be some Marys that will actually break open an alabaster jar or a box. And the Bible says that she poured all she had. She spent her life, her savings, and she poured that out on Jesus. And this woman has been wrote about. Jesus even said it. The testimony of this woman will be told forever. It'll be written about her. Breaks it open, pours it out on the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says this, that the whole place was filled with the fragrance of what was in that jar. You ever been around somebody that had a lot of perfume on? Huh? You could hug them. And you get home and you smell just like the one you hugged. Come on, somebody. We can get to the place that we can encounter Jesus. That we walk out of this place and we carry a fragrance with us. We can actually carry it into our world. What is that on you? It happened the other day. I don't know what that one. There's a a cologne that I wear, and I got around somebody. And they said, what's that smell? That smells good. What is that? Because I'm carrying something that I got around. Paul and Silas's praise unlocked prison doors. I'm telling you, your praise can affect somebody else. I'm not trying to make you do anything. That's not what I'm trying to do. I would never do that. God is not a coercer. But I promise you one thing. If you'll tehillah, if you'll halal, if you will todah. Right? If you'll zamar, if you'll do what the Bible tells you to do, I promise you, it will unlock your chains. And it will unlock the chains of others. There's a praiser in you. There's a line inside of your lungs. You just got to release it. Quit letting the fear of man, quit letting shame, quit letting guilt. There is a table set before us. Come on, somebody. And there's an invitation for you to come. Would you come? Jesus is asking us, would you come? Will you worship me? Will you praise me? Because this is a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to me. Woo! We practice it. I want us to stand to our feet today. Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come on, let's just todah a minute right here. Just with palms up. It's an expression of just thanksgiving to God. Would not be people, Lord, that are driven by our emotions, but God would be driven by faith in your word. And Lord, I'm thankful that I can get excited and I can celebrate. Sometimes, Lord, my flesh doesn't feel like celebrating. But Lord, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to todah. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to receive. Thank you, Jesus. Let this not be, Lord, we will not be a people that this is weird. This is not weird. This is normal. This is normal. We will not be a people, Lord God, that would celebrate more for a ball than celebrate for you. Because Jesus, you gave us your life. Let us have a revelation. In order for us to praise and worship, we have to see. If we don't see, we won't be able, Lord God, to worship. In the day that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Once the distraction was left, I could see. And when I see, the Bible talks in Revelations about, in the book of Revelation, that there is a there are cherubim, angelic beings that have eyes all around them. And as they go around the throne of God, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because they see the throne. And they see you. And they never cease day and night to give you praise, honor, and glory because they see. I pray, God, that we would be a people that would see. And we would receive our revelation again, God, of our salvation and what you've delivered us from. So, Lord, today we choose to praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sing something.
If the Lord,
come on,
has brought you through the fire, right into a wide and open space. If the Lord,
amen,
delivered you from darkness when he pulled your heart out of the Lord has been good to you. Lift up your soul.
Nations, and one of the reasons, many reasons, the law and all of that was given, the moral law and ceremonial laws, all that. But one thing about them, they were a worshiping people. They were a worshiping people. Come on, somebody. You and I, listen, the church should be defined by our celebration of Jesus. Amen. Celebrating Him. Again, there's times of us, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. There's a time for that. There's also a time for the Shabbat. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So we're going to shout. You ready? I've never shouted before. Well, welcome. I'm going to introduce you to the shout. Now, I can't shout real good right now, just like I can't sing real good right now. But we're going to shout on the count of three. What would I shout? Jesus. Hey, go God, I don't know. Just something. He's been good to you, has He not? Has He not been good to you? He's been good to me. He has been so good to me. Amen. Whether it's worked out in my favor or not, He's still been good to me. Because He works all things together for my good. Woo! So you ready to shout? Count of three. We want a Shabbat. We want a Shabbat. One, you're getting nervous. Come on, it's not weird. We made it weird. The devil's trying to convince us this is weird. This is not weird. It's the Bible.
Amen.
Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's normal. If we can shout for somebody running with a pigskin, then surely we can shout for the one that gave his life for us. Shabbat. One, ready? Two, three. Hey! Now, Monday morning, it's got to be the shout. When all hell's facing you, you got to shout. And listen, if you can, find you a prison buddy. Find you somebody in the jail cell with you. Because Paul had Silas. Find you somebody. Hey, I can't do it today. Yeah, you can. We're going to do it together. You ever been there before? I want to give us an altar call real quick. Make sure everybody's okay. With all heads up and looking around. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Have you done that? If you've not done that today, I want to give two calls. First, I want to give a call for if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that, and you want to, today's the day, I want you to come forward and meet me right here. That's going to take some bravery, but we're your biggest fans. See, the thing is this. We're your biggest fans, man. The second one is this. If you need a rededication today, you're saved, but you need a rededication. There's times in our lives we just need to start over. And you would say this morning, Pastor Paul, I'm not walking with Jesus. I'm not talking about you having a fight with your spouse coming to church today. I'm talking about, that's not good. Get that healed up, okay? I promise. But the thing is that I'm talking about people that are away from God, living their own lives, doing their own things. You're saved, but you're just not living for the Lord right now, and you want to. Would that be you? I'm going to give 15 seconds, and I want you to respond to those calls. No sweat off my back. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Woo. Would there be somebody else today who would be brave like that right there? Would be brave to step out and say, you know what? I'm coming today. Come on, 15 more seconds. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's good, is he not? Thank you, guys. What do you want? Tell me what you want. You want to be saved? Amen. Have you ever received Christ? Okay. So you want to rededicate. How about you? Have you ever received Christ? She's never received Jesus. What's your name again? Tiffany. I was going to say Ashley. I'm close. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray for Tiffany first. And what's your name, brother? Again?
Daniel.
Pray for Tiffany. We're going to pray for Daniel. Okay? We're going to pray for Tiffany first. And I want us all to pray with her. Tiffany, the word says this. The Bible says this. If we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. You believe Jesus is the Savior of the world? You believe he died for you? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Do you believe he's alive today? She's making the confession of faith. I want you to pray. I want everybody to pray. I want you to pray this. Say it out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. This day, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my King and my boss. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood. I thank you, Heavenly Father. My past is gone. I'm forgiven. Jesus is my Lord. This day, I choose to walk with him. I will not serve the devil. another day. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. The greatest gift. This never gets old. The greatest miracle ever is when Jesus comes and lives on the inside of a person. Whoo! Daniel, we'll pray for you. Pray this prayer with me. So, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. Thank you for new starts, new beginnings. I am your son. This day, I receive forgiveness for being wayward, doing my own thing. This day, I come back to your house. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for a new heart. This day, I believe I'm back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, hey. Hey! Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Father, I pray for this family today. Thank you, Lord God, for this family, Lord, and for your hand, Lord, this new start and beginning in their own hearts and lives. I thank you, God, that you brought them our way. And Lord, today they start their journey with you. It's a journey. This is not a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Welcome to the journey. I bless them, help them, God, as they get in scripture. They surround themselves with people in this church. God, thank you for their marriage being strengthened, their life being strengthened, their family. That Daniel, Lord God, even with you, Daniel, you're just going to newfound sense of leadership in your home, leading with the power of God and the grace of God. So, Lord, I thank you. I bless his family. What you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! We would love just an opportunity to talk to you guys for about 5 minutes at the church here. Tony and a couple of his team will be back there. Don't worry about your kids. Andy will take care of whatever. Or your best friend's over here, so she can help you, all right? So don't worry about that. Just 5 minutes, okay? So if you want to go with them, with Tony, you can. So praise God. So you right here, just go ahead and go with him right now. So it'd be awesome. We're just going to give them some books and make sure they have any questions. So praise God. Amen. I need another one. So, yeah, it's good. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. Does anybody else want to get in on this? Are you okay with the Lord Jesus today? There's no better time than right now. We'll hold off. I've done this so many times, and I've said, I'm just going to hold off another 10 seconds, and people have responded. So another 10 seconds. If that's you this morning, you're being drawn by the Holy Spirit, be obedient to that and come. I would love to pray for you. We're your biggest fans. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's good, is he not? Man, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done today. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Come, hold on. Get that back there to Core. Hold on 1 second. We'll bring it back to you, Core. Okay, well, that's good too.
Has followed me all the days of my life. And you don't know what a rebellious child that I was trying to be. But through it all, he never let go. And I just want to tell the world that my God is God. You don't know unless you've been or walked another man's shoes. And the enemy, let me tell you, he will do anything in his power when you start recognizing your Holy Spirit and the work he's wanting to do. The enemy's going to come and tell you every lie in the book. But I'm here to tell you, my God won't let go. He won't let go. He will walk with you, and he talks with you. and I praise his holy name. So when I see the young people coming through, I do pray with all my heart, because the closer they get, I know the battles they'll be facing, and I know that my God will keep them strong. And I say over my children, God, please keep your holy hand over them as you've kept it over me all the days of my life. Let that be for all the generations to come, that they'll know that you are God. You are the mighty one, and you'll be there for them. You're Alpha, you're Omega, you're their beginnings, and you're their end. Let them know, Jesus, just let them know that they will never, ever be alone. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for this place. And I do feel the Spirit here, Pastor Paul.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. That's somebody I'd want in my corner. Amen. Just a few announcements to share with you guys today. Coming up, it's in a couple weeks, but mark your calendars. Sunday, November 9th, will be our baptism Sunday. So if you're interested in being baptized, just see the Church Center app. I'm sure there's a QR code on the papers out front that you can sign up. And then also on Sunday, November 16th, is our Next Steps class for membership. If you are interested in learning more about our church or becoming a member, just sign up for that and come see us on November 16th. You guys have a blessed week, and we're going to go out of here doing what? Shouting. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.